the message shouldn't be long, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper this evening. I want to finish a message. By the way, 2 Chronicles 6 is what you need to find. I think I said 1 Chronicles. I want to finish a message I began last Sunday about prayer meetings, what happens when people, when God's people pray together. And I found six different illustrations in the Scriptures of what can happen, the potential of what can happen when God's people pray together in united prayer. And of course, we always stress individual prayer. That's important. Closet prayer, that's where you're alone with God. And that's a prayer life or prayer time. And then there's a prayer life. That's when you go on all day long and you try to stay in communion with the Lord and have communion with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there's also something when people get humble enough to start praying together. Jesus once said, if two of you on earth shall agree on anything that, however that goes, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. I'm sorry, I didn't quote that verse right, but he talked about the power of united prayer. And so I began last week to look at six different prayer meetings in the Bible and what happened when people prayed together. The first one was in Luke 1 last week, where we saw the people were praying outside at the time of incense, not knowing that on the inside of the temple by the holy place near the Holy of Holies, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and gave him a message. And so that was the first thing we saw, that when people pray together, God can give a message and make a divine appearance. Now, he's not going to literally come down as the, you know, in the form. He's not going to send Gabriel, I don't think, here to Faith Bible Baptist Church. Something very special. A divine message was given, and the Lord appeared to Zacharias and gave him a revelation. And I really believe that when people pray together, I want to encourage you to pray for pastors. I know you do, a lot of you do. And a lot of times we count on them to really bring the message from the Lord, and we should. They are called angels. We went over that a little bit this morning. Epaphroditus, John the Baptist, there's others who are called messengers of God, and that word messengers, angelos, is the same Greek word as angels. Angels are messengers and ministers. That's what they were. And when the Lord said that he wrote unto the angel of the church at Ephesus or the angel of the church at Smyrna or Pergamum or Thyatira or Sardis or Philadelphia or Laodicea, he spoke to the angel. There was one messenger of that church. And I think that is a picture. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches that are in the right hand of God. And they are messengers of the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 8:23 talks about pastors being messengers of the Lord and the glory of Christ. And again, we don't say that proudly, as his brother Lewis was saying there when he was singing, don't look at me, but listen to the message. And the same thing with pastors, but they are called the glory of Christ. And there's something about them. I just love sitting underneath somebody who's preaching the word and has the anointing of God on them. And they preach, whether it's a Brother Burkhardt at a men's breakfast or a Brother Gibbs or a Brother Baldwin or something in some of the meetings I've been in lately. And you're just sitting there like you're saying, boy, God's on this person and God's speaking to me through this person. There's just something about it. Anyways. The second prayer meeting we looked at was in Acts chapter number 1, where there was 120 people united in prayer. That included the 11 remaining apostles, Mary, all of Mary's other children, and the men and the women of the first church at Jerusalem. They were all praying together. And that prayer meeting seemed to go on for approximately 10 days. And the Lord just said, tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And then, of course, we know that the Holy Ghost came down on God's people in Acts chapter number 2, and many were saved. And so God can give us messages if we all pray. if we'll all pray. And J. Wilbur Chapman was just a fascinating testimony, I think, of how people prayed for him when he was preaching. He was such a failure at first that within 2 weeks of being voted in as the pastor of the church, the deacons were commissioned to go up to him and tell him, we're sorry we can't use your services anymore because he was such a lousy preacher. And the deacon that they finally appointed to give him the news went in there, but God changed his heart. And he told the guy, Pastor J. Wilbur Chapman, he said, I'm not going to listen to you preach anymore. That kind of shocked me. He says, I'm going to be underneath, below you in the boiler room praying for you. And pretty soon it got to where there were thousands and thousands of people upstairs and about 1,000 people downstairs praying for him. And the rest is history, how much God used him. And we need to pray for pastors. We need to pray for the Holy Ghost to come down. Now we see, third of all, the glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord filled the house in this prayer meeting in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now this is a long prayer, and it's not really a congregational prayer. It's Solomon, though, praying with the congregation. It says in chapter 6 and verse 1, Then said Solomon, The Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee, if we'll skip down to verse 12, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hand toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel. And then this prayer is actually recorded for us. It might be the longest prayer in the Bible. Don't quote me on that. But as a result of the prayer, turn to chapter 7 and verse 1. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Now, I want you just to see the effect there of united prayer, and I think it was just Solomon praying, but the whole congregation was there, and he was praying in front of them on his knees. And I got a feeling there were probably people in agreement with him as he was praying. Such a tremendous, tremendous prayer that God felt important enough to record for us that we didn't read, but study that out. And the scripture says that as soon as he was done praying, the fire came down from heaven. And I know there were those divine manifestations of fire coming down from heaven because they still had those Old Testament burnt offerings and sacrifices. But I got a feeling a whole bunch of people went home that day and said, Did you see that? We've never seen that before. And boy, the fire came down from heaven, just burnt up the burnt offering right in front of their eyes, the whole congregation. And then the glory of the Lord just filled the place. And the place just started being filled with the glory of the Lord. The priests couldn't even enter into the house. It was filled with the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Well, you know, I'm not expecting this kind of a manifestation in this day and age, but I think the glory of the Lord can still fill the house of God. And again, I'm hoping that some of you maybe have been at meetings before where you experienced a divine manifestation. There was something there that was different than other church services. And maybe it was a church service, maybe it was a special speaker that we had prayed for weeks and fasted that God would use him, or special meetings. And I can remember some of those times in Faith Bible Baptist Church. Many times over the years where there was just, wow, that was quite a meeting. And God did something. I can remember meetings with Bill Lisland way back in the 80s, 85, 86, 87. We had him in every year, and it just... And he would expect us to pray, to get together at 6 in the morning, pray and fast. And, man, he would come in preaching all kinds of stuff. And people were just getting saved. And And people were changed, and we have people still in our church who are faithful members of our church who were saved that during that meeting back in the 80s. That was glorious times. I've been at tent meetings, camp meetings that were unique. I've been at conferences and summits and things where it just like the glory of the Lord. I think there was two cases a few weeks ago out in New Jersey where the preacher didn't even preach. The scheduled preacher didn't even preach. God just got in the meeting and people were going to the altar for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, confessing their sins. Pastors were praying with pastors and women with women. And you know, the scheduled preacher just had enough sense to say, you know, God's done enough tonight. And let's just rejoice in this. And people were helped. People were revived. People who were this close to quitting were re-fired up. And it was a blessing. I wish it could have been there. But that can happen. And we need to have church services where the glory of the Lord fills the place. We need to have Sunday school classes. I don't care if there's two kids in the class, but the glory of God can fill that room. And, we need to have your ministry be a place where the glory of God shows up. Brethren, I've heard men sing, I've heard women sing, and the glory of God just came down while they were singing. They were so humble, so filled with the Spirit, and there was just a divine manifestation through singing, through the playing of instruments. I'm serious. I've experienced some of these things, and some of you have too. And what I'm trying to do is kind of whet your appetite tonight to see the potential of united prayer. So that you'll get involved in some of these prayer meetings we're having, or starting to have. And I've noticed over the chapel, it's just a simple hour-long prayer meeting we've had, I think, for 5 years consistently uninterrupted, which is so unheard of these days. Usually prayer meetings start and they fizzle out in a month. And we've just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And I really believe that we could pinpoint specific answers to prayer that God has done at the chapel and in the country and in New York State because of those prayer meetings. And so if you and I can see what God has done through united prayer, I hope you'll say, hey, you know, I think I need to get in on that. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. In Acts chapter number 4, it says in verse number 23, Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now notice verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I want you to notice, number 4, the church spake boldly. Today the church is so timid. The church is so quiet. And I would even go so far as to say in some cases the church is so ashamed of the Lord and of His Word. And I believe the fault is in that we're not having united prayer. Because united prayer will give us boldness. I don't know how, it's just a divine work that He does in people when they pray together. And I think the church has been too timid and too quiet and too ashamed, too hiding in secret, just praising and worshiping the Lord in secret, preaching and teaching to the converted, but silent in the world. And I believe we're missing a lot of the boldness in the church in general. Not some of you. Some of you are on fire for the Lord, and you're out there talking to people and mentoring people. Keep it up, man. Amen. Keep it up. Don't stop for anybody. But I believe united prayer can change that. I mean, these people were threatened. We're not. These people were threatened. They were told never to speak in His name again, and they came back when they were released, and they reported to the company what they had said and how they were threatened when they were let go. And when they heard that, verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, and they prayed to God. I mean, this was a united prayer meeting of threatened people. Their lives were threatened. We're not threatened today. Maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know. Maybe we should be. Maybe we'd pray more for each other. But I believe the same effect could take place today, that many of us who are too timid, too shy, too quiet, maybe honestly too ashamed to talk about the Lord or take a stand for His word, I think that could change if we started praying for each other. Praying that God would give us boldness. God would give us boldness. And so there's another story where united prayer had an effect and changed people. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I want you to see a fifth story. And what happened as a result of this? Now, this is kind of, again, like this morning's sermon, a type. But let's see the type and let's apply it to our own circumstances. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. Now notice verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So we see some united prayer. Now every time there's united prayer in the scriptures, something happens. Something happens. Something miraculous. And I want you to notice, fifth of all, tonight, united prayer can open doors. United prayer can open doors. Literally, it says in the story, you know, Peter's sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, verse 6. And the keepers, the jailers, before the door kept the prison. And the angel of the Lord came. And down in verse number 10, it says, when they, that is the angel and Peter, were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And of course, Peter goes to Mary's house, who is Mark's mother, that Mary. And he appears, and of course, they thought it was just a ghost or a spirit. And Rhoda came to the door. You know the story, but eventually they realized that God had answered their prayer and that a door had been opened for Peter. And because of that open door, Peter was able to continue his profitable ministry. Now, as a type, look over at chapter 14 and verse number 27. 14:27. It says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, I don't know if we're going to see any prison doors open, but there's other doors that God can open. And this verse says that God had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Boy, that sounds like what America needs right there. America needs to get back to faith. And we need to start praying that God would open the door of faith unto the Gentiles and unto the Americans. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul said to the Corinthians, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." You know, so we need to pray for open doors. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." He went on to ask prayer requests one time, Paul. He said, "Pray for me that a door of utterance may be given unto me, that God would open doors for me to preach the word." And we need to pray that. We need to pray that in a united way, that God would open doors for us to preach the gospel and not to be ashamed of the word. Jesus warned us, if we're ever ashamed of him and his word and this sinful and adulterous generation, he's going to be ashamed of us before the Father. Paul said in Colossians 4, verse 3, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." I mean, if you hear about somebody going out door to door here from our church, and you know they're going out at such and such time, you pray for them. You pray for them. And you say, "Lord, when they go out, open a door of utterance. Give them an appointment where somebody's heart will be open. The door of somebody's heart will be open as they preach." Or, you know, if you hear about somebody going into the public schools, that's a door of utterance that's been opened to us. We're in four schools here in Lakeshore and one up in Buffalo, and maybe more would be open if we could get some devoted workers who would go out and be consistent. I was at a store yesterday, and I was talking to the grandma, and she drops her daughter off at our chapel on Sunday mornings. I invited her to come in. Little girl was there, tiny little girl, a little five-year-old girl, six-year-old, real cute. And I said, "I know who you are," and I told her her name. She didn't know how I knew her. But I said, "You go to JTY, and you go to Bible clubs after school on Tuesdays with my daughter, Rebecca." And then she kind of smiled, and she was, you know, I think that's having an effect on her life. And we need to pray for more doors to be open. And as when people go into the prisons and people go into the nursing homes, that God will open up doors, God will open up hearts, when people go out soul winning. When we follow up on these first-time attenders, that God will open up the doors of their hearts. And when we go to work and somebody's just been closed to the gospel for so long, that maybe of a whole bunch of us, get a whole bunch of people praying for that person, that a door of utterance would be opened, that maybe all of a sudden, miraculously, that person who seemed to have no interest in spiritual things whatsoever will all of a sudden have an interest. Some of you were that way before you got saved. You don't want to hear a thing. But somebody was praying for you, and it piqued an interest in you. And just like the story this morning, Jacob, he was sound asleep. He woke out of his dream and said, "Surely, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And I think God wants to wake up some people. And we may be getting some wake-up calls pretty soon in this country with this stuff going on in the world. And this is serious stuff. I mean, we've you know, toyed with this long enough over in North Korea. Man, this is getting serious. I'm not trying to scare you. I just think it's my duty as a pastor to warn you. You know, we got some serious enemies in this world. And they have absolutely no conscience whatsoever. No thought for you or your family, your kids or your grandkids or your future or whatever. And they have no idea why they're doing what they're doing, but that the devil's in them. The devil seeks to kill and to steal and to destroy. Open doors. When people prayed in a united way, the doors were open literally and spiritually. Doors were open. We need to pray for this community. We need to pray for Eden. God would open the doors of some of these people's hearts. Tough town in Evans, North Collins. Maybe if we all got together and prayed. Here's one more. In Acts chapter 21 and verse number 5, I just want to say, last of all, missionaries were assisted. Missionaries were assisted. And I'll just read the one verse and you can follow Paul and all of his travels. But it says this in Acts 21, verse 5, "And when we had accomplished those days. We departed, went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And then the rest is history. Of course, the Apostle Paul goes on and has successful missions. We got to be praying for these missionaries. We got to be praying for their wives. We got to be praying for their requests. Our prayers can literally affect things around the world. Literally around the world. When you come Wednesday nights, we have that prayer time, and you get that prayer letter. You just scour that letter for that prayer request, and you pray fervently about that. You pray for that missionary, and you pray fervently. These are special people. Every time one comes through here and they tell me what they're doing, like Wednesday night, the guy from Nepal, I just go home and say, man, I couldn't do that. I don't have the ability to do what that guy's doing. That's amazing. That's divine. That's supernatural. How can you go to Nepal and have such fruit? I wouldn't know how to win one person to Christ in that whole country. But God's using him. But they need your prayers. These missionaries need your prayers. Thank you for your giving, but they need your prayers. The wives need your prayers. In united prayer, they got together, it says here, the wives and the children, everybody fell on their knees and just prayed for them. Prayed for them as they went on their way. I want to say this in closing. We're trying to start some prayer meetings. Mrs. Cole has had to come back over to the church here, and she's needed sometimes, and she was a great blessing at the chapel there on Sunday mornings, and there's times where she has to like help fill in maybe teaching and stuff, but especially, and she was kind of heading up the prayer meeting over there for the ladies, but I know my wife prays, and I want to invite you ladies to join her 9:30 on Sundays for prayer. I want to find a man. Brother Bob and I are talking about a man who can be here every Sunday at 9:30 for prayer. Now, let me just say a few things in closing about prayer meeting before we have the Lord's Supper, because I've seen a lot of prayer meetings wrecked. When you go to a united prayer meeting, you leave all your problems at home. You leave all your problems at home, all of them. You don't come in and start talking about how lousy your husband is, how lousy your wife is, or how bad your health problems are, your bunions, or your arthritis, or whatever. You leave that all at home. Leave it all at home. And we come and we pray about ministry. We pray about the Lord's work. We pray about the Lord's day. We pray about the lost being saved. We pray about the saints being edified. We pray about revival. We pray about laborers and soul winning and missionaries and whoever the Sunday school teachers are that day, or the children's church workers, the bus workers, whatever. But we pray about that. We leave everything else home. If you can't do that, don't come to prayer meeting. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I've seen a lot of prayer meetings wrecked by gossip. And Satan does not want prayer meetings to be consistent. He's afraid. He starts shaking in his boots when God's people start praying together. You pray for 5 minutes, approximately, then you let someone else pray. You don't hog the prayer meeting. You just pray. You pray fervently. And I'm talking about, we just got to get back to some old-fashioned wall-staining, knuckle-busting prayer meetings where we lift up our voices to God and say, God, we need you. We can't do a thing today without you. God, would you help us? Please, help us, Lord. It's getting tough, this country. The world's getting tough. These are perilous times. It's hard getting souls saved. It's hard getting kids into church. And we've got to meet this with prayer. Got to meet it with prayer. It's different nowadays. It's not like the old days where we could run 4 buses and bring 130 kids in every Sunday. And I mean, the miracle of it is we had children's churches. Jeff's here tonight. He can tell you that was filled with black people, white people, Puerto Rican people, Indian people. And I'm talking, there were times they had 50, 60, once in a while, 80 kids down there on big days. and somehow God worked. Souls were saved. I mean, I can't think of a Sunday went by, but Brother Jeff would tell me about some kids that got saved down there. Doesn't seem like it's like that anymore. It's hard to get kids into church. We got to meet this with prayer. And we got to have some good prayer meetings. You pray for 5 minutes and then you let someone else pray, but you pray with them, you agree with them in prayer. You say amen. As the Lord says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. And we start out Sunday with prayer. Sunday's the first day of the week. We got to start the whole week out in prayer, prayer meeting. That thing will go on for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. The ladies, we're going to find a room for men. Appreciate the Aaron and her ministry. I know some of the men pray while I'm preaching sometimes. And we'll try to keep that going too. That's great. That's important. When we have ladies' prayer meetings, wherever the house is, go there. Take your girls. Do some fervent praying. Let these kids see our prayers get answered. Men's prayer meetings. I want to ask you tonight for some of you husbands and wives to start praying together. I just know you're not praying together. You're not praying together, and you're having some problems. And it might be one of the hardest things you do, humbling yourself, to pray together as a husband and wife. But we need to start some prayer meetings in our homes. Maybe getting our kids in on that. Man, what are the we watch TV together. We watch sports together. We go shopping together. We do everything together except pray. I don't think that's right. We need to have some homes having prayer meetings again. And you might have to just humble yourself and say, honey, I'm sorry, we haven't prayed in a long time together, and I know this is going to be uncomfortable and unnatural, but let's have a little time of prayer. Let's get together for 5 minutes, just pray. Can you imagine that if every one of us did that before we came to church? Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, just prayed. After church, slip off into a room with somebody, say, hey, you want to pray about some things. We need some of you teenagers to pray. I mean, teens with teens. History is replete with examples of revivals that came because teens got sick of their parents' dead religion. They said, we want to see God work in our life. We want to see God work. God has often started revival among the children and among the teens. We need some cottage prayer meetings. Yeah, you can ask me, but, you know, that's fine. I don't think I'm going to deny anyone that says, Pastor, would you mind if I had a prayer meeting at my house every week or once in a while? You know, if you can keep that thing spiritual, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. We need prayer. We need prayer. Six examples of united prayer. What happened? Divine messages were given. The Holy Ghost came down upon his people. The glory of God filled the house. The church spake boldly. Doors were open. And missionaries were assisted. All these examples are in the scripture for our learning. And I know America, we're Americans. We got credit cards. We got doctors. We got tests. And everything. We almost don't need God for anything anymore. But we got to overcome that. Live by faith. Have some home prayer meetings. Men will come 9:30 and be here sharp early even, just say, we got to pray. Got to pray again. Women that'll pray. And you teen girls, you get in on that prayer meeting. And teen boys or whoever's here, I don't care, little boys or girls, you get in on that prayer meeting. Sunday mornings, do some praying. Well, praise the Lord. Let's have the Lord's Supper. Shall we just bow before our Lord tonight? The Lord's Supper is a holy time. It's a sacred time. And I hope you've prepared before this. But it's a time where we do three things every time you have the Lord's Supper. Number one, you look in.